Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Hooray! Yay! It's Judy Day!
It's Judy Day! Every day should be Judy Day.
It's Judy Day here at the Judy and Mike Show.
Yes, it's the Judy and Mike Show. I think John Spencer was the first person to call it that.
He's a very smart fellow, that Spencer.
He's so handsome.
And why is today your day, Judy?
It's my book release party. Yay! In the studio, which means I bought everyone a beer.
All right. And the book is the official book of sex, drugs, and rock and roll lists. And this is, it's a motherfucker. I don't know what else to say.
It's
a beast. It really is something. Putting the sex and drugs back where they belong with the rock and roll, the most outrageous, unapologetically hedonistic book ever, except no limitations.
That is some brilliant marketing copy. Who could have written that? Not me.
Well, mazel tov, Judy. I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
It's really rare that a piece of filth of this high quality comes floating into our studio.
Yes, we need to sell some copies. It's kind of languishing right now, so we need to sell some copies.
Have you heard that, listener? Judy needs new shoes.
Judy needs a whole new outfit.
So who are our guests today celebrating the official book of sex, drugs, and rock and roll lists with us today?
So lucky. Okay, so we have... Okay, one of the first bands I found in researching the book was a band. I was looking for gay band names, and I found Gay for Johnny Depp, which is possibly the best band name of all time. Sorry, Mike. But Joseph Grillo, a.k.a. Sid Jagger, from Gay for Johnny Depp, who are no more because the book took so fucking long to come out.
Like, the careers were destroyed in the meanwhile. Yeah.
Yes, they got really mad that the book wasn't coming out, so they broke up.
That's what did it.
Yeah. What is the gayest band name?
Okay, Anal Cunt, or no, that's the dirtiest. Gay for Johnny Depp is pretty much the gayest band name. I love that name because so many straight guys are like, no, well, Queen's been around so long, it's sort of neutered.
We actually played a show with Anal Cunt at
Did
Europa.
You really?
I
would love
terrifying.
That t-shirt.
Yeah.
How I long for the days of subtlety and rock and roll.
But our other guest is the fantastic illustrator of this book, along with the heavy metal book of lists and the punk rock book of lists, and a million other things, Cliff Mott.
Cliff Mott,
yay!
Everybody!
Hello, listeners.
Well, you know, Cliff and I go way back. Cliff used to do posters for my former band, The Raunch Hands.
That's true.
Which, to me, always sounded pretty gay. I always thought it sounded like a gay porno. I was like, to get saddled with a name like that? Like, yeah, all right. Could translate to no known language. I you go to Germany, it'll be like, what means raunch? It's a fucking pun. Puns suck. You got to stay away from puns in the band
I always pictured guys in the band with latex gloves on with dripping goo.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what you thought of us?
Yeah. I think
really?
I think I drew that one time.
Really?
But it disappeared.
I'm so disappointed.
Those visual thinkers.
Well, it's not as gay as Gay for Johnny Depp. So you have a list in the book, right, Sid?
Yeah, I
Sid.
Do.
Do I call you Sid?
You Mr. can call me Sid. I like Sid.
I love that name.
Yeah.
It's good. Which is your list? We should run down some of these lists. I have some of my favorites.
I was actually surprised your list wasn't more filthy.
I know.
Want to take a look.
Well, you know, we originally spoke about doing. I think it was like list other celebrities you'd go gay for, and I just can't put anybody next to him. You know, although we were always waiting that if we ever got a cease and desist order, we'd just change it to gay for Patrick Swayze. Until we got another cease and desist order and just change it to again. But
gay for Marky Mark.
Yeah, my list is my eight favorite food and wine pairings.
Yeah, that was actually a really helpful list. Yeah. One of the few really helpful lists in the book.
I try.
Well, I don't know. I think Keith Richards' list is...
Keith Richards... Okay, Keith Richards' list...
Very practical. Let's get to
that
in a second.
I'm hoping that Keith Richards shows up for the party.
He wouldn't be the first Rolling Stone to be on the Mike and Judy show, of course.
That's true. That is very true. There is a chance. There is a chance... Keith or a close facsimile thereof will be at the party on Thursday, July 12th between 7 and 9 p.m. at Powerhouse Arena in Dumbo.
Everybody got that? July 12th, this Thursday at the Powerhouse Arena. There's going to be beer.
It's sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon, the hipster beer.
And a rock and roll band, everything. It's going to be a crazy party.
How can you go wrong?
Yeah, there's going to be rock. Cliff is going to show his work.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, Sid won't be there, unfortunately.
I have to work.
God damn it.
Work is for suckers. What do you got? What's your list?
Should I read it?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, well, sure. It's a nugget from it, a jewel.
Well, yeah, I'll just give you a little piece. Well, I was just saying that you could, for example, New Zealand's Marlborough region produces unmatched Sauvignon Blanc that has a grassy nose and hints of citrus in the back of the palate, mostly grapefruit.
I like
and it goes
that.
Well with lighter ocean fare such as cod and scallops.
Well, that was gay.
Yeah.
That wasn't really the timbre of this book, though. You're not really selling the real timbre of this
book. But you
know
what? There are little helpful tidbits. I'm doing what I know, man. He's a wine guy. We have had several wine guys on the show.
The wine guys are always the best.
We should have a wine show, too. We'll have to do that later.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some nice Jewish wine. Can we go to Bloomingdale's now? Well, there's a backstory to this book. All right, let's how filthy is this book? The answer is really fucking filthy.
This is okay? So
how
filthy
could it be? None more filthy.
No. Okay, this was so filthy that the original publisher, who shall not be named, it was ready to go to press in October of last year. I was going to get copies like any day, and I get a call from my editor saying,
well, that's okay.
I'm really sorry.
We can tell the whole story, Judy. It's cool.
The book has been canceled.
We'll err on the side of discretion and not mention my current employers. But
he's the one who bought the book.
But I was the one who acquired this book.
Originally.
For a very respected publisher, it was mostly rock and roll books. And we'd already done two books of lists, the punk rock book of lists and the heavy metal book of lists, both spectacularly illustrated by Cliff. And the books were successful. And it was time to do the Mother Lode, the official book of sex, drugs, and rock and roll lists, and go genre busting. And who better to write this book than my old pal and radio co-host, the woman who was too hot for television, Miss Judy McGuire.
Exactly.
Who brought the goods, and in a way that no one really could have anticipated.
I was too dirty.
Really brought them.
We took out the list of five songs about fisting by Porn Jizzly. And Cliff had done a beautiful illustration for it. Not so tasteful, but, you know.
Well, the company that I work for is somewhat conservative. We do a lot of rock and roll books, and the other books, they go there. They touch the edge. We've had lots of ass-fucking and dope-snorting songs and
have odorous urongus.
We did not have odorous urongus. And this is sort of where the shit hit the fan. Because our group publisher, the book's ready to go to print, and decides maybe he should see what Mike and Judy are really up to. And of course, what the fuck? You know, look, lady, you knew I was a snake when you brought me home. I don't know
And
what
it's
else
not
to say.
Called The Book of Kitten Cuddles.
Okay, I'm a pornographer, I've worked for a drug magazine, and Judy as well. We share this on our resumes.
No shame.
No shame. No boundaries. And let's see. Anyway, so Odorous Urungus of Guar talks about,
smoking crack, having sex with dogs.
That's right.
aliens.
That's right. And incest, Guar sperm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every time you have sex with Guar, it's actually incest because I created you by having sex with apes. The only reason humans exist is because of Guar. Onto drugs. I am a junkie, crackhead, stoner, violent, drug, drunk, sponge of the universe. Drugs are great, but I love crack the best, etc., etc. Anyway, the group publisher took one look at this and said, what the fuck you guys think?
And you know what? The after it got canceled and then resold, also thanks to Mike, my editor at Soft Skull, who's a very nice woman, she was like, yeah, we're really excited about the book. I was like, oh, great. Can we put back in the list about fisting? She's like, yeah, no. And I was like, yeah, and they had a real problem with the introduction. She's like, I wanted to talk to you about the introduction.
Was it the ass fucking the space dog? Is that the part that bothered you?
But then she quit, so it didn't matter.
Well, you pushed her over the edge, McGuire, clearly. Well, the thing is, where we come from and the jobs that we've done, having worked at Screw and the porn magazines and the that dope magazine you used to work for. It's hard to tell if you ever crossed the line. I mean, our sense of proportion is so skewed compared to normal human beings or anybody, you know, with common sense.
The line doesn't go straight.
Sid Jagger's over here raising his eyebrows. Yeah, I got that.
I understand that well.
You know, have we gone too fucking far? And the answer usually is yes, but I don't fucking care.
But yeah, so the book finally came out almost a year later. That's why there was such a delay between me saying, hey, can you do this list? And you probably thought it just
and
died.
There are two ways Gay for Johnny Depp could have gone. Right to the top of the Billboard charts or where you are now.
We were never going to go right to the top of the Billboard charts. But it is very sobering when you have relatives ask you what you do. Or they find a video on YouTube and you're like, just don't watch it.
But you know what? Like, bother. Johnny has gone so far off course that I don't think anyone would be gay for him anymore.
I would.
I'm thinking.
I wouldn't even be straight for Johnny Depp. Like,
come on, Mott. Who are you going to go gay for? Admit it. Come on, come on, come on.
Those cheekbones. Tom Jones. He's insane.
Tom Jones. Even now?
Sure.
Oh, Cliff.
The old kind
Cliff just doesn't want to get yelled at by his wife.
Again.
He didn't turn his wife on. His wife would love to hear the liberated Cliff.
But wait, so I want to know how
Let
you.
Let me dig that shit.
The Welsh Stallion.
How you came up with the name. I mean, you.
How do you come up with the name?
Hey, you know, it's just one of those things you think about, and there it is. It's because it's violent. Well, not violent. It's aggressive, sort of hardcore music, which is a scene dominated by some
knife wielding former members of the Cro-Mags.
Yeah, that was fun times.
Wow.
That I just wanted to go out of my way to make sure that we wouldn't have any stupid people show up at the shows.
Right.
And you do that by having a band name like Gay for Johnny Depp, because you're not going to get anyone that's, you know, a scene that's inherently aggro. Homoerotic as well. You get guys jumping all over each other to get to the pretty singer, you know. You just call it that and people are like, oh, I don't want to go there. But you'll get people that'll, you know, up for more fun.
Right.
That was the idea behind it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, Nirvana had that problem because people were singing Rape Me enthusiastically. I mean, it was an anti-rape song. And hardcore is so homo, as we cover in the book.
Mm-hmm.
The official Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Book of Lists, the name I still can't get correct.
Well, Rape Me is just another example of the pitfalls of irony.
Yeah, you can't be. So what
how many lists is Kurt Cobain actually on in this?
Oh,
good. I mean, I probably swing a dead rock star without hitting that junkie.
Yet still, my Kurt Cobain shot did not go. I wanted a specialty cocktail at the Seattle book party called this Kurt Cobain shot because I thought it was funny. But
in Seattle
did not go over.
Too soon, McGuire.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
I had a bandmate who tried to order an Irish car bomb in London.
Oh, that might fly at Sweetwater.
I didn't realize it. I was like, "Not, don't do that." He was like, "What?" I'm like, "No, it's not funny here."
Oh,
okay, I just want to run down some of the greatest hits from this book, so our listener can really get a sense of what's happening here. 14 sexual insights and love making tips. Well, but I got confused by the umlaut. It's from Motley Crue. Pat Kiernan's 10 thinly veiled sex songs. Pat Kiernan seems like such a nice guy. What's he doing in your book?
Pat Kiernan, who is now my neighbor in Williamsburg, he has a blog, and so I wrote to him. I was like, hey, can I put this in my book? And he said, certainly. So I did it, and now he's a proud contributor. I don't think I invited him to my party, though. I have to slip an invite under his door now that I know where he lives, like a crazy stalker.
Right. 17 bands named 17 bands named an homage to that neglected orifice, the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of anal cunt.
I don't know how neglected it actually is. 8 bands named after Spooge.
Mm-hmm.
18 bands named tribute to the glorious Lady Flower. Mm. And 5 bands named for tits.
Boobies. Yeah. Who don't like boobies?
Who don't like boobies? Who don't like boobies? Who else are you going gay for? Tom Jones? He's a little old for you, don't you think?
For me?
Yeah, well, he's got like a box of California raisins and eat that. It'd be like the same thing.
I've done that.
So, speaking of aggressive hardcore, you were upset about this violence surrounding the Cro-Mags gig. And this,
you know what?
I've always hated
the Cro-Mags.
This faux CBGB's Michigas that's happening. You know how I feel about that. You've always hated the Cro-Mags.
I never liked them. I don't like Hare Krishna. I'm not down with that.
Don't shit talk them. They'll find you. They'll knife you.
Are they like Scientologists?
Yeah, if Tomcat had only been Hare Krishna, we wouldn't be having to go through all of this.
Well, then he would have an excuse for not having sex, too, besides being gay. I'm actually kind of obsessed with this story because everyone knows everyone in that scene knows who Harley is. It's not like he could slip a knife in and no one would know. I was talking to my boyfriend about it, and he was like, it's got to be Angel Dust, a recurring theme. Well, I don't think Harley does bath salts. I think it's angel dust or crack.
Baz is it. Finally, there's a drug that I don't want to try.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable. I never thought I'd see that day.
Yeah, it's here.
There was fighting involved.
Were you guys like friendly with Cro-Mags at all? I mean,
I played a show or two with them. I wouldn't. I don't know how possible it is to be friendly with them. I mean, they're just serious guys. I mean, you know, it was like, hey, you know, but they're very genuinely serious guys.
Yeah.
You can't really open it up with like a lighthearted joke. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, especially about their sexuality. Yeah, I bet that you would wouldn't want to. Really
no.
Yeah, it's odd to me that like in 2012 that there's still, these guys are living that lifestyle, it seems. I mean, it's very much like just hasn't changed. I mean, guys playing in a hardcore band, living, I don't even know what the fuck that...
They are called the Cro-Mags.
That means anymore.
Good point. Although,
well, you know, look, a lot of people came out of
fair,
that scene.
He's very physically fit.
He is very physically fit.
Extremely fit. John, do not mess with that guy. That guy...
We like him.
I can train with him.
Well, you know, he wrote a very well received book about his, and he's had a crazy background between being in the Navy and the Hare Krishna and being homeless. I mean, it's some wacky stuff in his background, and you know, and God bless him, he's keeping the band going, and you know, everybody deserves to.
But he did earn the name Blood Clot.
A living, yeah, that's one that I wouldn't want to be walking around with. I mean, that's pretty ugly, right?
Yeah.
But just to think that like these bands can still exist and live this lifestyle to the point where your ex bass player is going to fucking stick a knife in you
and have beef 12 years after the thing went down. That's weird.
It's weird. It did put into sharp contrast, though, I thought, like how not violent the whole punk rock scene really is. I mean, for all the, you know, the cartoon violence that might be surrounded it and the aggression of the music, I mean, how many times do you hear about things like this? I mean, the truth is you don't.
No.
Really. You don't hear about every gang warfare breaking out at punk club. Basically, punk rockers are a bunch of pussies. And me, number one.
Wait, so let's take a very short break. 1 minute, 36
seconds. Let's go
gay
for Johnny Depp. What do you think?
Which song is this, Sid?
This song is called No Teeth Thumbs Up, which is from our album that's going to get re-released very soon, actually, on vinyl, called Blood the Natural Lubricant, An Apocalyptic Adventure Beyond Sodom and Gomorrah.
All right, Joe, let it rip.
Fuck you! 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 Fuck you!
Okay, we're back here on the Judy and Mike show.
I wish, Joe, you've got to learn the effects. Judy, like echo.
So, I'm still a rookie here.
So, Sid Jagger, tell us about that pleasant little wake-up ditty.
That, you know, it's one of the best songs live because it's easy to sing along to. Yeah, that song actually imposed a new rule on the BBC about how many obscenities you can have within a certain amount of time. Because you can swear on the BBC, but it got played.
You can't do it like 5,000 times.
You can't do it. I think it's 32 times in a very short period of time.
Very British.
So yeah, so they played it and then it got banned. So we I have that's one of my proudest moments. I mean,
Band banned by the BBC.
Partially responsible for creating a new law in England.
That's great. I mean, I was insulted by the Catholic League one time, and I was put on their list of people not to pay attention. It was a similarly proud moment, though not well on the scale of BBC.
What am I doing wrong?
Trying too hard.
I think it's Maguire. Bill O'Donohue got like was like one of his people was betraying him.
I thought for sure when we did that bit, the Manchurian cocksucker for Screw, that was going to be all over.
Yeah.
I really thought we had crossed some sort of line there. But so no. Good job, Mike. It's really funny. So I want to talk to Cliff Mott today, who's illustrated and done cartoons and posters, t-shirts, and all sorts of great stuff for so many bands. Everybody's seen Cliff's work. You were not quite a household name, but I'm sure everybody's actually seen your stuff.
Working on it.
So who have you worked for in the last few years?
Done stuff for John Spencer Blues Explosion, Heavy Trash, and Dictators, the whole Miasma.
Speaking
Losers of Lounge, I do a lot of stuff for.
The Losers Lounge stuff, which you've been doing for years, which
for
is always,
years.
Always great. I want to make the Dictators, of course, our friend Handsome Dick Manitoba. I love his list because Richard Manitoba's 9 best drugs ever. And he starts number
from
one.
From a man who's 18 years sober.
But it starts number one, heroin. You know, best you drug ever. You know, that's why I like Richard, like our other friend Keith Richards. They're guys who think heroin is funny.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a punchline.
Shine a little light.
Yeah.
Shine a little light. So who else have you worked for? We worked together, of course, with the Ronchans.
Right. I love working with musicians. They give me carte blanche, usually just like let me go. We come up with some ideas collaboratively, and then we just roll with it, and we have a blast.
Has anyone ever gotten mad at the way you portrayed them? I mean, I know I gave you strict instructions before you did our flyer: younger, skinnier.
And ostensibly
great.
It was a puppet, so
oh, yeah, okay.
I was able to.
Right, of course, we're talking about Art. Cliff also did the artwork for the Mike and Judy show, or the Judy and Mike show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Soon to be the Mike and Judy.
That's just some glaring eyeballs right there. That was impressive.
Out there in radio.
Well, I've sent some pencils back for corrections.
That's right.
I need to lose 15 pounds and 2 chins.
That's true.
One of my favorite illos in the book was what you did with Coco,
who must
have been a joy to draw.
That was a blast. And oddly, I knew I was going in the right direction when I showed my wife that illo in particular, and I was actually having a little trouble with Ice-T. It looked like too
Ice who?
Yeah, exactly. And so she was like, "Oh, no, that's great. That's a great Ice-T." I was like, "Well, Coco is right there. What about her? Nothing.
I mean,
nothing really.
How could you not look at Coco? Who besides me and Coco were your favorite people to draw?
I love drawing Keith. It's always a blast.
Yeah,
you know he's super fun to draw.
Well, I love Keith's list. I could just highlight this for a second.
This is
good advice. I also took the same tact at my list, which was how to smuggle drugs over international borders when
right.
you're in a van with a punk rock band. But Keith is the man.
He takes it to the next level.
He takes it to FAO fucking Schwartz.
Yeah, he does the highbrow version.
Because the gist of the list, if you will,
so
is Keith, you know, as a syringe, a needle, he keeps in his hat with a feather sticking out of it, and you know, in his Panama hat that he travels
it's
with.
It's a pin.
That comes with, you know, the rock star kit. Yes, it's a pin. But the problem is he doesn't have the rest of the works.
Right.
Okay, he doesn't have a barrel to connect to the syringe, okay, to shoot his dope. So he's staying at the Plaza Hotel.
Right.
And realizes that if he goes across the street to F.A.O. Schwartz, he can get a toy doctor and nurse kit, which has the barrel,
Ding.
And he can retrofit his syringe from his hat into the barrel. Meanwhile, he's calling up room service for some coffee, which he doesn't want, but he needs a spoon.
Right.
Industrious fucking junkies,
that's
man.
Fucking smart,
they
right?
will do anything. It's impressive.
Very smart.
That's why Keith's book is so good, because like William Burroughs and a few others, he thinks heroin is funny.
Yeah.
And he also called Mick Jagger Brenda through the whole thing, which was excellent.
In his tiny totter. Oh, poor Mick.
Ouch.
Poor Mick.
But yeah, that was really fun. And Ozzy's health tips were also fun to gather. Like cocaine on your toes for athlete's foot.
Yeah, really. The picture of health Ozzy Osbourne.
When your disposable income is that large.
I usually just go with Dr. Schultz. Yeah.
So, Ginny, this is not your first book.
No, it's not. It's actually like my fifth or sixth book. But
really?
Mostly they've been under other names, like Franklin W. Dixon. Perhaps you've heard of him. Author of The Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys.
Yes, I wrote a Hardy Boys book with a Ku Klux Klan... theme. They were trying to murder Howard Stern. It was like Jews versus the KKK.
Jews and the KKK.
It was called Shock Jock. Guess how they killed him? They electrocuted him.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Well
But yeah.
Could we be looking forward to the movie anytime soon?
Probably not. And I just violated my NDA by saying that on the radio. But also, I wrote How Not to Date.
How Not to Date.
Because I am a dating columnist.
And you are a dating columnist, and your blog is still happening. You're still in the Seattle Weekly.
Still in Seattle Weekly.
And I must say you offer like the best advice anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I do.
You do, and you go pretty much anywhere. You go there, as the kids like to say.
I wish I would get more exciting letters, but people in Seattle are not asking me very
Well, if I recall, your last column, or one of your more recent columns, did describe the post-poop pork.
Oh, yeah, the guy who didn't want to have sex with his wife after she went poop that day, that evening.
I thought that was a real blue ribbon column.
I'm glad you remembered the post-poop pork. I forgot that.
For all the problems I have dating, and you've always been a great consigliere to me, that is not one of them.
No.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, he could. Their apartment wasn't big, which I can sympathize with, living in a railroad. And his wife used to poop in the morning, I guess, but then she moved her poop time till after dinner. And
big trouble.
And it, like, killed his boner because he knew she was pooping, even though he couldn't hear it and she was clean
people
and everything.
People are so fucking weird, man.
And he liked to have sex at night.
Some people
so.
Like that.
Huh. Huh. Yeah.
These are the big questions
that need to be answered.
I have to solve.
Wow.
But yeah.
What else is going on, date girl?
Party.
Party this week.
Thursday the 12th
at Dumbo. Featuring
Princess Superstar, Mike Edison, The Interstellar Rendezvous, mm-hmm. Cliff Mott, Rich Jesuiak from Gawker, Aaron Bradley, who used to work for Nerve, Michael G. Gonzalez,
yet again, a cavalcade of stars. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I think this is going to be the best book party of all time.
When does it start? What time?
7 p.m.
Oh, it's already started.
Then it goes till 9 p.m. Then we go over to Superfine down the street for more fun.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's great. Stand.
Cliff, you better put the babysitter on retainer.
Hold. Yes.
Because you're going to be out late.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
There's going to be
I'm
going to
ruin you, Mott.
It's on.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It's going to be the best book party in the history of book parties.
Okay, everyone and has to make a party noise because we're at a book party. Woo!
Well, I'm glad we got together so we could be gay for Johnny Depp next week, maybe. Next week is going to be our 50th show, Judy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Our 50th show, and they said it wouldn't last. We've lasted longer than gay for Johnny Depp, I believe.
No, they've been around for a while.
You've put out more quality work, I'm sure.
I don't know. I love gay for Johnny Depp. I'm really sorry they're gone.
All right. Well, once again, it has been the fastest half hour on the internet today.
And we're going out with Sid Jagger's new band, I Hate Our Freedom.
All right. So once again, for Judy McGuire, I'm Mike Edison with Cliff Mott and What was that gay for freedom?
I hate our freedom. It's the easiest band to get through customs.
I hate our gay freedom. Johnny Depp hates gay freedom. What?
Don't we all?
All right. For Mike and Judy here at the Heritage Radio Network, thanks to Joe, our engineer. Here we are at Roberta's next week for our 50th show. See you at Judy's party this week.
Be there.
Ow!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.